Dr. Ross is an internationally recognized expert on transportation and urban planning with extensive experience in the public and private sectors. She is the Harry West Professor and Director of Georgia Institute of Technology Center for Quality Growth and Regional Development. She's conducted research on how to make cities, neighborhoods, and regions safer, healthier places to live. Recently, Dr. Ross served as a major contributor and thought leader on mega regions and health impact assessment.
Well, thank you. I'll try to be as efficient as the last presenters. I was really impressed with your tag team. You guys did a great job. Well, I'm delighted to be here. And let me say, I have an easy job. Lily and the others have done such a good job of describing health impact assessment that I'm going to skip that part in my presentation and take advantage of being in the position that I'm in. Let me get myself organized here. Okay. No disclosures. And I want to talk about health impact assessment from a little bit of a different perspective. You hear a lot of talk about healthy places, and one of the things that we've been excited about doing is figuring out how do you create a healthy place, and how do you talk to the people that make decisions about creating those healthy places so they implement some of the good work that all of us have talked about this morning. So we always have, the decision makers have a target on their back when it comes to us. We stalk them throughout the process, feeling like if we can't get them to change their minds, we make a little bit of money, we spend a lot of time, but is the community really better off? And I think that's the challenge we have in front of us in terms of HIA. Is the community better off? And often, all too often, I think the answer is probably not as much as we would wish they would be. Having said that, we have developed kind of a different concept relative to HIA, and let me just talk for a moment about that. In our presentation, we're going to talk about the Aerotropolis very quickly. The Aerotropolis is the idea, as the Federal Aviation Administration has decided, you have to clear out around noise contours and make sure the areas are safe for communities. So you have these vacuous areas now that are really opportunities to be redeveloped. The Aerotropolis says, make this swath of land, typically in a city, more walkable, tie economic development activities to it, create some opportunities for those people who moved out of the impact area but still don't move very far. And so this idea of Aerotropolis around airports as they began to respect what we need relative to protecting human health is an opportunity. That is a part of what was happening with the Atlanta Airport. It's the busiest airport in the world. And so we decided, because it was going to be redeveloped, working with a developer from the private sector, it's about a $1.5 billion redevelopment over a 10-year time period. And so we wanted to get in on year one, because this is going to be happening on a continuous basis, and we wanted to figure out how we could change this development, this redevelopment, in a way that would be good for the community. We decided the way to do that was to hang it under this broad umbrella that we call health impact assessment. I make the argument health impact assessment is a process, a procedure, but I think more importantly, it's a really broad framework for investigating health from a great variety of perspectives. And so we put our healthy places audit under the auspices of a health impact assessment with the impact that we could drive some of these recommendations to a place that left the community better off. And what I'm going to do is just to give you, in fact, let me go the other way here. Give you, this is just a real quick overview of this project. I'm going to tell you a little bit about, done under the auspices of the tremendous staff at the Center for Quality Growth. I have the pleasure of working with them. There's our process. For those of you, you've seen it before. That ostensibly is the process that we used, working with the cities, the communities, the airport, the developer, and the city of Atlanta, which I would suggest to you is not an easy entity to work with. I'm being kind, in case some of you know people there, report back. The Aerotropolis, this gives you some idea. You see our study area right in the center. And we're really talking about four communities here: the city of Atlanta, the city of East Point, the Clayton County, Forest Park, our impact area is really the city of Hapeville, and you can see the airport sitting there. If you look very quickly to your left, you'll see that pink center. You'll notice it's actually surrounded by major interstates. So this is a place you can understand why it's helping. It's good to redevelop it. You can see that with the tremendous exposure to interstates on all sides, it's a place, aside from the airport being there, that's likely to be fraught with health, negative health impacts. So we decided our study area was not just this little pink circle or the green in the center there, but we developed a 2-mile perimeter around the whole development area. We did look at land use. I'm going to go very quickly because what I want to do here is just to give you some idea of the tools that we used. And I really want to get to this Healthy Places audit. That's really the point of the conversation. So I want to just give you a very quick smattering of the kinds of tools. We, of course, did an inventory of all the land uses. You can see the project site there, commercial, retail, as you would expect. I'll skip that to tell you that the major health challenges in the neighborhood. Of course, it's a very poor neighborhood, a largely minority neighborhood. And, you know, we went in and we had a really good conversation and a community voice, but you know what that voice said is we need jobs. And from that flows all the good things that you guys are talking about, Catherine. They were very forceful on that. We had a very ideological hat on, and we left with that hat on, but it was a well-informed hat because they really made the point that they're so poor that a lot of what we're talking about couldn't happen unless their circumstance was improved, and so jobs is what they really wanted us to push, and we did. Unfortunately, as I'll tell you, the jobs that we got weren't ones that they could really qualify for, but anyhow, we think it indicates an upward spiral in terms of opportunities. Poorly educated, careless, the kinds of things, and of course the access issues were just overwhelming. Let me talk for a moment about some of the challenges with health, and I'll just mention those. You can't see that very quickly. HIV, mortality, suicide, hypertension, the kinds of things that you might ordinarily expect are all there in this neighborhood, and those were the kinds of health impacts that we saw that were substantially worse than the statewide average. Our appraisal very quickly for the HIA, we are a pretty data analytic focused group of folks, and so we use a lot of latent demand analysis, pedestrian and bicycle. The issue with bicycles and pedestrians are bike paths and sidewalks are not all the same. People say bike path. Well, what does that mean? How big is it? What classification is it? How safe is it? Those are all issues. So we really try to drive down and say, is it 6, 8, 12, and then why? And can we document that? So, and lay demand means if you had a bicycle, how many people might use it? You can't always answer that by just looking who's using it today. It's who's going to use it over this 10-year period. And so looking at the latent demand that was there, of course, the walkability audit we all talk about quite a lot. Geographic information systems, a lot of our analysis required a geographic analysis. Of course, the literature review, and then lastly, this audit that we talk about. I'm going to define that for you momentarily. And this just is an idea of the latent analysis we did for bicycles. You can see, if you look to your right, the density after the including the Aerotropolis project is much greater. Very quickly, our walkability audit. This gave us a list of sort of block size and which areas are walkable now, which are not. Intersection, I talked about the interstate, but the intersection density is so heavy in these places that the safety and the pedestrian and vehicle and the vehicle-to-vehicle collisions are much higher than the state average. They have a lot of just pure safety accidents that threaten public health. Thought this was interesting very quickly on the left, the grocery stores and the number of employees. If you look at the small green dots, that means they have 2 to 4 employees. That's not your Publix, your Walmart, or any of the stores that you may know, but that's the closest access that they have in terms of food. Not very good at all. So just to give you some idea, I suggested the crash data, but the accessibility to food, those are the noise contours in the airport there, no surprise. A quick look here, far left, the project I talked about, it's about 13 acres. As I said, 10 years, $1.5 billion, office, hotel, retail. And so the idea is here we can get on the front end and make that place that's coming online a healthier place to be. And I'm going to skip right down to talk to the Healthy Places audit. And when we talk about the Healthy Places audit, It means going in and looking at all the rules that make a place. What are those rules? The comprehensive plan, federal requirements, air quality standards, zoning requirements are huge, as you can imagine, permitting process. We went in and did an inventory for the four places that I talked about of all of the requirements, all of the ordinances they have to comply with that make Hayville, the city of Atlanta, look like they look. And we thought we had to understand that and interject our recommendations into their ordinances to help them create what? A healthy place. It's very exciting. I thought I'd put up a picture for here of what the zoning ordinances and the kinds of documents actually look like. But nonetheless, that's what cities look like. That's the official zoning map, and that's what you have to live with. And you've all seen this, but I just wanted to put that in. So we divided our audit. Again, these are the four places. And you can see the documents that we looked at, the ordinances. But the Aerotropolis came about because the Ford Motor Plant closed down. It was near the airport. And so you had all this in addition to this redevelopment. You had this vacuous property that now was empty and they were going to redevelop it. And so that really gave rise and a lot of push to this Aerotropolis concept. And we looked at transportation, economy, and community environment. And I'm just going to hit those very quickly as time is an issue, and maybe we can have some conversation before we leave to talk a bit about that. If you look at the kinds of documents that were reviewed with an eye, we've already have a good inventory of what the health challenges are. So now the question becomes, how do you change those documents so that this place becomes a healthier place? And I'll select just one or two in each instance. If you talk about transportation, for example, we can look at the third one down. Are bicycle accommodations included in street specifications? They actually have street specification, guys. You wouldn't think to look at them, but they exist. And so you can talk about where's the bicycle lane going to be? Are there tracks? Is it buffered? Or what's the path? Is it shared? Is it exclusive? Are there signals, detectors, bike boxes? Just a whole litany of ways that we can describe that will make the use of bicycles more, create the opportunity to use them more often, make it safer places for them to use, and accommodate them in a way that, that correlates to the number of people who are likely to use them. If we look at economy and conformity, I'll just, again, as I suggested, just very quickly point to one or two of these. Let's take the one to the fourth one down, our food markets, a grocery store, bakery, and I referenced that for you earlier. We said streamline approval for fresh food markets. You don't have to have a vacuous, as you know, supermarket to bring fresh vegetables in. Those are precluded in current ordinances. If you look, you can't have it. You'd be surprised to the extent to which that's the case. So we just thought streamline that and open that up so that you can actually bring fresh food in, whether it's a huge grocery store or not, and adjust regulations to allow stores to also locate in some of those places, even if they're smaller. Environment, huge relative to noise. I won't go into that. It's another whole lengthy discussion that has to do with the Clean Air Act amendments and whether they are attaining those standards or not. But we talk about smoke-free ordinances that should be introduced again into their regulatory recommendations. And zoning to provide a 100-meter buffer of commercial, institutional, industrial, and office along busy roads. So when the average annual daily traffic hits 2,000, there's a certain set of conditions that ought to kick in. Right now they treat them all the same. So if it's 2,000 or 10,000, same treatment. We had key recommendations, and I'll just very touch upon just a few of those. And I'll start with the last one, reduce personal exposure to pollution of the air, big issue there, soil, water. The Ford plant was contaminated, so there was some cleanup that needed to be done there. The rates of respiratory disease were overwhelming. That was a part of our recommendation. The number of local trips that you could make by walking and biking were also issues that we focused on. So if I talk about our key recommendations just to scale them for you, if we were looking at all of these documents and you want to have some rules of thumb, it would be these. Mixed land use, reduce the scale of the city in terms of more human scale, much more residential choice, not much mixed family units there now, you know, fairly inexpensive, mostly run-down single-family units. So the idea of some multifamily was really good. More choices, green space, coordinated management. One of the problems that they have is that everybody has their finger in the neighborhood with lots of interest and not much responsibility. And let me just go. We had a wonderful advisory committee. They knew what they wanted, employment, and certainly they wanted a healthier community.
They opened a Porsche plant with a test track. Not many people in the neighborhood were probably qualified to work there, but it does seem to have started a revitalization effort, and there do seem to be jobs coming online that would be appropriate for the neighborhood. The conclusion, the benefits of conducting an audit under the auspices of the health impact process, we think is one way to create healthy places. Local conditions require the development of context-specific solutions. No one size fits all. Determine the feasibility of HIA recommendations. The fact that developers embracing a vast majority of the recommendations over time that we put forward. And then it's important to identify the opportunities and challenges for public health interventions within a regulatory framework. We think that's the major contribution of looking at healthy places ordinance audit. Thank you very much.